Getting close to the finger right there. All right, this is the fourth week of Advent, and just, you know, every year is different where Sunday falls in the week, and so this particular year we celebrate the fourth week of Advent, the day before Christmas, so the final candle will only be lit, or I'm sorry, the fourth candle will only be lit for one day this year. This is the fourth Sunday in Advent and Christmas Eve. Today we light three purple candles and the pink candle. The first Sunday we lit the candle of hope. The second Sunday we lit the candle of love. The third Sunday, we lit the candle of joy, and today we light the candle of peace. Our world is not always a peaceful place. People hurt other people, countries are at war, and people don't take care of the world that God has blessed us with. People yell and scream at each other, but God promises peace. During Advent, we pray that we, as God's people, will seek God's peace at all times, and that the world will follow our example. When we look at the fourth candle, we remember God's promise of peace. We recall the words of Jesus in John 14:27, "My peace I give to you." And in times of war and hatred and strife and arguments at home and things like that, sometimes it's hard to remember that Jesus is the one who brings peace. As we approach Christmas, let's remember that God's intention is a place of peace where people shake hands instead of harm one another. John 14:27 says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Now let your hearts not be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for those in our world today who seek to act for peace. Help us remember that it is God's intention that we act in peace and look for ways to be peacemakers at home, at church, at work, and at school. Amen. All right, so we are finishing up our series, our Christmas series here on Pregnant. The idea that Jesus was coming for a long time. God promised him for a long time, and we as the world were pregnant with this promise that God had given us, and it's just like when Mary was pregnant with the baby. This good thing is coming, and we're excited, and we can't wait. And there were some adjustments and some pains to get there, but God surely delivered on his promise. And if you want to follow along today, we're just going to be in Matthew 1 in your Bibles there. I want to talk about when it wasn't your plan. And so when it was found that Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she was already betrothed. She was already engaged to Joseph. And so, in other words, Mary already had some plans. And then God interrupted her plans in a way that probably wasn't very comfortable, in a way that probably brought shame to her and her family, in a way that probably messed up how she probably envisioned her future to be. And Joseph too, and her family too, and her friends too. It affected everyone around her. So just to kick things off a little bit, how many here would say, "I'm a planner. I like to know things well ahead of time. I'm the first one to be ready in my family. I'm up first. I have things." Who's a planner here? All right. Like 30%, 25%. All right. Who here, don't raise your hands, who still has to do Christmas shopping? All right. You probably shouldn't be in church if you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, right? All right. So some people are planners, some are not, but everyone generally has an idea of what they think they want in the future and what they hope for. And they have these intentions and we have these plans. And sometimes they don't go like we thought. Sometimes we can do all the planning we want. We can plan well ahead of time, get the right people involved, have the right skills, and it's not going to work out. And sometimes it's because God wants to do something special in our lives. And this is how Christmas came about. So I want to take the lead from a church called Life Church, and they sort of took some liberty with the text of Matthew, and I thought it was a fun way to illustrate what's going on here, and I want to sort of follow their example here a little bit. So I'm going to be picking up around Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, and what we're going to do is we're going to add to the story. I'm going to add things that are not in the Bible, but we're just trying to get the idea of what the characters were probably feeling. Okay, now remember, this is Mary and Joseph, real people in history. They had real plans. And when God decided, okay, now it's time to finally deliver this promise, God interrupted everything they were doing. So verse 18 says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph," that means she was engaged, "before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." And then verse 19 says this, "And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." So we've talked a little bit about this last week, but the idea back then was it was kind of different when you got engaged back then. It wasn't like today. Today, if we get engaged and we're spending some time, we're planning the weather, and you know, I realize your mother's a control freak and the wedding's going to be a train wreck, and I can just be like, okay, this is going to break your heart, but this is not going to work out. And we could break off our engagement on our own. But back then, to break off an engagement, you had to actually get a divorce. An engagement was a done deal. You will be married in 1 year. And so Mary's in this stage now where she and Joseph were already engaged. And we don't know how it happened. You know, we can maybe kind of imagine that she's sort of growing up in her small town there. And she's starting to become of age, and some of her friends are probably starting to get engaged, right? And parents are maybe talking to other parents, and the kids are wondering, like, you think your mom and dad are talking to my mom and dad about us, maybe, right? And maybe she went to synagogue one night, and the teacher there, and they trade the teaching jobs, and there was this one guy, you know, Joseph, and he was teaching that night, and man, he was so cute. And he just brought the scriptures to life. And he was teaching about Isaiah, and Isaiah was talking about how the Messiah was going to come one day, and just this fire lit up in Mary, and she's like, man, that guy is just, man, I could just see myself with him someday. But you know, he's older, and he's got a job, he's got his life together. This other guy my parents were talking to, I mean, he was like, addicted to playing Camel video games and stuff. I don't know what his deal was. It's just not my thing. I don't know. But, this Joseph guy, he is just so... And then whatever happened next, we don't know. Maybe they're talking to their parents and something worked out. And it's like, Joseph, we were talking to Mary's parents the other day. And we're planning your future. And you know, we want the best for you, Joseph. And I can imagine Mary's parents are like, you know, we want a husband for you who's godly. And we want you to have kids who are going to grow up strong. We want someone for you who's going to have a good job and be a good father and a good husband to you. And then the day comes and the parents get together and they do like a whole contract. It's kind of a big deal to get engaged. And they get engaged and Mary is just, I can just imagine she's just filled with excitement, right? And it's this happy, joyous time. It's like, okay, 1 year. I've got about 1 year of this engagement to Joseph, and then we will be fully married. You know, we'll have our own house. We'll start our family. You know, I'll take care of Joseph, and he's going to build up his furniture business or whatever he's making in his carpentry shop. It's going to be so awesome, right? And Joseph, he's got these plans. He's like, you know, I've got my business is getting started. It's going well. You know, I'm getting engaged to the cutest, most godliest girl in town. And our future is so bright. And then something happened here. Verse 18. This angel had visited Mary. The angel brings news. Mary, God picked you for something special. Oh, great. Great, God's calling me something awesome. This is exciting, you know? You're going to have a baby very soon, and it's part of God's plan for you. And Mary says, well, hold on, you're jumping the gun. I'm engaged, but I'm not there yet. And the angel explains it to Mary. Now, Mary, the baby you're going to have is going to be by the Holy Spirit. You will still be pure, you know, pure in that sense. And you'll have a baby by the Holy Spirit. And God is going to bless the whole world through this baby. And Mary says, okay, God's calling me. This is going to be hard. But her answer is this. I'm a servant of God. Let it happen like you say so. And so she sort of says yes to God. Okay? And then something happens there between verse 18 and verse 19 where somehow Joseph heard about it. And he starts making these plans to divorce Mary. And I can just imagine when he got the news, right? He's got all these great plans. You know? You know, it's okay, it's only 11 months. Okay, it's only 9 months now. Only 8 months. Joseph, I'm sorry, we have to tell you something. We just heard Mary's pregnant. You can just imagine how crushed he would be. I mean, it's like they already have all these things set up. The families are already having dinner together, right? They're talking about the future. And Joseph, I can just imagine how crushed he is. He's already decided in his heart, you know, I'm not going to shame her because I'm going to try to be a godly man, but she cheated on me or something. I don't know what happened. All my plans are ruined. I'm just going to break this thing off quietly and figure it out later. You know, it wasn't what he had planned, but it was God's plan. And Mary, you know, she's thinking about her future, and then God says, I'm going to do this thing for you. I'm going to do this thing through you. It's going to change your life. And then she sees Joseph starting to have all these secret conversations, all these meetings with his parents, right? And she knows. It's like, oh no, he's going to divorce me. I'm going to be a single mother in a culture where it's not that easy for a young lady to get a job, support herself, and a kid. I'm going to be a beggar. This is not how I planned it. How am I going to take care of this baby that's supposed to be from the Lord? God, how could you let this happen to me? I thought I was doing your thing. I said yes to you, and now I'm getting hung out to dry here. And sometimes maybe you've been there where you thought you were doing God's thing, and your plans are just ruined, and it's like, how could this happen? And it's like I'm headed for disaster. I thought I was with you, Lord, and why? You know, why? I'm on your team. I'm on your side, Lord. But this is one of God's greatest purposes, you know, that we know of today. And so number one, if you remember nothing else from today, if you remember nothing else, remember this one thing. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. You know, there's probably someone here today that probably had some financial plans that got derailed somewhere recently. You know, now Christmas is here and the stress is even higher, right? Or maybe you had certain plans with your marriage or with the job. You know, maybe because of some leadership at work made some decisions and now you're just one of the consequences and it wasn't your plans. And now it's going to be a little bit longer till you retire. Or maybe you're searching for a job. You know, maybe it's like, God, it wasn't my plan that I have the sickness. It wasn't in my plans that, you know, my loved one has passed away this year. You know, we're planning this great Christmas with them. Or wasn't it my plans for fill in the blank and whatever's going on? Proverbs 19:21 says this, and this is like, it almost is like a hard verse, but it's also just, I think it's a peace verse. It's a verse that says, you know, even when it's going wrong, God is still God. It says this, many are the plans of a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now, if God were not a good God, that would be bad news, right? If he were evil, that'd be terrible news. But if he really is a good God and he has our best intentions at heart, That is very good news. It's like if you grew up in the house and you have very good parents, right? And you want to stay out late Friday night. And you just want to have fun with your friends. And your parents say, no, we have better plans for you. And so we're taking away the keys. We're going to ruin your plans. And we're going to do something else instead. Right? And they teach you this habit. And while your friends go off and get further and further off the road, right, you stay the course. And you learn the disciplines of a good young man, a good young lady. Right? Your studies are done and their studies are not done. Things like that. Your parents, if they're good, sometimes they're going to ruin your plans a little bit for a much greater good, for something that is so good, for something that's going to bless you and others. I thought I would share a couple times when God ruined my plans. Okay, and the idea is I hope maybe you could recall sometimes in your life where maybe you had plans and they're ruined. We do want to say this one thing, though. We do want to say this one thing. God's purpose continues with or without our plans. In other words, if you don't do your homework and you get a zero tomorrow or you get a zero next week, it's not because God's plan prevailed. It's because you didn't do your homework. Right? God's plan is for you to get a bad grade so you can learn your lesson. Right? Or if you disobey mom and dad, you're like, well, must be God's plan that I'm in trouble. No, it's God's plan that you learn your lesson. All right. So the main idea here is sometimes God will interrupt us for his purposes. So here's a couple times when my plans were ruined, and but God was working. And I just had to trust. So in college, one summer I got this fantastic internship. And they trained me up. This is back when fast internet was a new thing. You know, back then everyone had that dial-up, like with the modem had a dial-up, it was screaming in your ear. It was like terrible, right? And this new thing came out, DSL and cable. And so this company trained me up, and they hired all these IT kids that they could, and they shipped me out to San Diego. And we just started like installing DSL. And people were so happy when we got there, and our company did great. And I went to the beach, you know, after hours, and it was amazing, right? And so the next year, after my junior year, I think, all right, now I've got a little bit of experience, right? Had that awesome internship next year. It's like, okay, what's up this year? What are we going to do this summer? Oh, what's going to be even better? What is it? And I apply to this, and I apply to that, and I apply to that job. And it's like, nope. It's like, semester's almost over. I'm starting to get nervous. And I'm applying all these jobs. And I get to the end of the school year, and I've got no job for the summer. I don't even have like a McDonald's job. I got nothing. I'm like, I studied hard, sort of. But you know, I was following the plan and had all these ideas of the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, how my next job would be better and better and better. And I was following the same plan as all my classmates, and they all had these awesome internships. They're going to work in Cincinnati and Dayton and Cleveland and Chicago and Atlanta. They're going all over the place for these awesome internships. And it's like, I'm a junior. You know, I need to be getting good experience. I need to get something on my resume. And I'm just at a total loss. And so I don't even have a place to go after school. Not like last year. So I have to do the thing where I call mom and dad. I'm like, hey, I don't have a job this summer. Could I hang out with you until I find one? And so you know how I kind of softened it. I said hang out instead of live with, right? So I did all these things. And mom and dad, they took me in. They're like, yeah, we'll help you out, of course. And so moved back home. And I mean, I couldn't even find like a job around the local town. I'm like, God, what is going on here? I'm like, I am a mostly good worker here. I should find something. And it's like, time after time, it's like not real. But also that previous year, I had gotten away from the Lord. And I just sunk further and further away. I didn't have time with him anymore. I didn't have my Bible time. And I'd started off a couple years before that so passionate. And I just sunk further and further away. And God just interrupted my plans. He just put a stop on it. And so now I'm at home every morning with my dad, who basically led me to Christ, basically. He was also a brand new Christian. And so It's like me coming back, like the stick, like the fire's going out of the stick and bringing it back and putting it close to the fire. My dad's like asking me, like, hey, what are you reading about? What are you hearing from the Lord lately? And all this stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh. I didn't realize how far I've fallen until I got close to my dad again. And I just had all this spare time that I just started spending with the Lord. And I started visiting this church up that I had never been to before. Just, it was north of our house, maybe 10 miles. I started visiting them. And one time they asked me to come and chaperone this thing for their youth. And that's where I met this young lady. Her name was Lisa. And she was excited about God, and I was excited about God. And sure enough, a few years later, that's who I married. And I got this godly wife now. And I have this summer of me coming back to the Lord and coming back to school and cutting off habits that I had picked up and really stepping away from those and stepping away from even some friends that I had made that made those things easy. And I just said, no, my last year is all for God, no matter what, no matter how much it hurts. But if God had not interrupted my plans, I never would have gotten back into his purpose. But at the time, it seemed painful. At the time, my plans were ruined. Another time I was married to Lisa. And we've married for a while. No kids yet, but we've got these plans, right? We thought, all right, we're living in Georgia. Things are going pretty good. Lisa had this like year-long commitment to Habitat for Humanity. Like she donated her first year out of college to Habitat. And that's coming to an end. And so we're sort of, you know, like when you're first married, you sort of start to talk like, if we were to have kids, about when would we want to do that, right? And we're starting to have these conversations a little bit. And for us, a big part of us was grandparents. And no grandparents are in Georgia for us. And I was traveling, so I didn't see Lisa as much as I wanted. I said, honey, you know what? Since I travel every week anyway, I just need to live close to an airport. We can live anywhere we want to. Why don't we just go back to Ohio, close to our parents, and then we can start a family whenever we're ready? And she's like, okay, that could work. And so, you know, we sort of say goodbye to our Georgia family, our Georgia friends, you know, that we've made. We move back to Ohio, and I get a job where I don't travel so much. And I go on my first day of work to this new job. And they said, oh, by the way, you're supposed to be doing this every week, too. And it wasn't, like, part of the job description. I'm like, you mean to do what? And so they didn't tell me everything when I interviewed. And I interviewed, like, 3 times there. I was like, you talk your guts. You know everything you think when you're going in. I'm like, oh, by the way, you're also going to be supporting these folks over here. You want me to do – it didn't really matter what it was. The idea was I thought it was going to be like this. And it was like – to me, it was like cleaning toilets. And I get there, and we start digging into the work, and everything was a disaster there. It was such a mess. And I'm like, this place is a ship going down. It's like, I left that awesome job to come back here and do this family thing for you, Lord, and you give me this? Like, this place is going under. Like, and so I'm thinking, oh, should I get the resume, and should I start doing the job search again? I just went through this whole thing for months. And Lisa, she's looking for a job and she's not finding one yet. I'm like, Lord, this was supposed to be like our glorious move back to Ohio, right? Where we start a family and get these great, you know, and it's like the next thing and the next thing. And this is like, this could end bad. Like, in fact, if they go under before I find something new and the next place asks, why did you leave? I'm going to say, because it went belly up, because it was terrible, right? But what really happened was they needed a leader. And I needed a place, some place to grow me and make me a leader. And we started working through all the terrible things that they had. And when you work through something like that, you become invaluable to someone when you help them that much. And they were training me to really be a leader, things that we would need later when we would start a church. And they started this program about continuous improvement and just driving my skills. I'm a problem solver. And it would just, everything just sort of came together, and this new leadership came in the company, and just God just sort of took care of it. And they had these rules like no sharing your faith at work, no hanging up things in your cube about faith. I mean, it was like, what? So I just went to HR. I said, hey, I want to see you at the pole. I'm going to do this prayer thing at the flagpole. I know you got rules and stuff, but I just want to do it. Is that okay? They're like, well, okay. And so I just kept asking stuff. They just kept saying, okay. And I started seeing all these Christians that I never knew before. And God just grew us up in this place, and they loved me, and Lisa got her job, and eventually we found the church that would, in that area, that would introduce me to starting to get ready for ministry, and God was just taking care of things. God was just putting stuff together like I could never see. And it wasn't my plan, but you know, God's plans prevailed because he sees that his purpose gets done. When God promises good news like Jesus, like a savior, like a ministry for you, like something for your family, sometimes he may interrupt your plans to do that. So now Mary, she's has this baby. She's pregnant. She's there. Now there's this census, and she's like, oh, I'm 9 months pregnant. Now we have to travel all the way to Bethlehem, right? So she's having this baby on this donkey. So ladies, if you've ever had a baby before, when you're really pregnant, are you more or less comfortable? I don't know. I'm just guessing, probably less, right? So she's sitting on this donkey, right, on this rocky road all the way to Bethlehem, and it comes time to have a baby. So now here's Joseph. He's got all these great plans, right? God's been messing him up, but he's like working through it, right? Okay, God, you said this was your thing. I'm going with you. And now his young wife have the baby. She's on this donkey. He didn't make any reservations. There's no room in the inn. And so someone has mercy, and they're like, you can hang out with the animals. So Joseph is like, this is not how I planned it. I thought God said he was going to bring this baby, and he's going to be awesome. And I imagined this glorious like birth with all these neighbors and friends around. And we're going to have a feast. And no, we're in a barn. And I should probably shovel some stuff before we have this baby and clean up the place a little bit. And this is not like I planned it. Okay? And so they make do, and they have this baby. Fast forward 33 years, Mary sees this baby who's grown up as a man that she was proud of, that she followed, now is condemned, right? The king of their country, basically, has condemned him, and he's walking with common criminals out to this cross, and she's about to see him be crucified. And he has been whipped so bad that probably his back is opened up, and we see the insides. Okay. And she's wrought with tears, and the angel even said, you know, your heart will be pierced. This is probably not like she planned it, but God had a great purpose, and he's about to deliver the biggest promise of all. And she didn't see it yet, but she just had a trust that God's purpose was going on, even when her plans were messed up. She just had a trust. And then Jesus dies, and God pours out his wrath on Jesus. And he pays for the sins of the world. And now we have the Savior. Now the whole world has a Savior. They can look to Jesus. Now the Savior is available because Mary just trusted, and Joseph just trusted, even when it was hard, even when their plans were messed up. And I don't want to make light anyone's plans in here or the pain that you might be feeling. Yeah, but Christmas reminds us sometimes God's going to mess up our plans because his purpose is so good, even when we can't see it yet. You know, sometimes it's going to hurt and you're just not going to understand. And when you get to that point where I just don't understand, Lord, that's when you just start trusting the Lord God. God, I just have to trust that somewhere in here, this is your purpose. Or even if you didn't design this, Lord, I know from your word that you can use it if I trust you. Right? It's like Joseph and his brothers. Right? Joseph's like, hey, you meant to do bad, but God used it for good. No matter what, God can use it for good if we give it to him. And this is Christmas. This is how Christmas came about. The same pain that we feel often throughout the year, right? That ended in this joy. Joy for us and for others. And now we're probably, you've probably got lots of plans for today and tomorrow. Some are going to work out, some aren't going to work out. That's fine. But no matter what, let's live for the Savior of the world. Let's live for this God who has good purposes in mind for you. Right? And those pains that we have, let's just trust the Lord with it and walk forward in faith for him and to him. Right? Lead our families to him. Remember the reason for Christmas and this baby and birth pains. It's like, hurts now. Now we have this baby. We carry this baby. I'm glad Lisa took the pain for him, but I love carrying around our little baby. She just follows me around the house. I just love to scoop her up. She's my buddy, right? And all the joy that comes after our plans are messed up and the pain that happened. I'm going to pray for a minute, then we're going to have one last encouragement. If you would just bow your heads with me for just a moment. Lord God, thank you so much for Christmas, Lord God. A promise delivered. How many plans did you have to mess up to bring our Savior, Lord? And now we have this great joy, Lord, your Savior. Thank you so much. Lord God, this week I pray that you would bless every person here as some of our plans work out and some don't, Lord God. I pray that you give us the strength to trust you with our whole lives, Lord. I pray you give us the strength just to, even when it doesn't look like it's going to work out, Lord God, I'm just going to trust you and keep being a man of God and keep being a woman of God. Lord God, thank you for being here and blessing us in this community. We pray you are famous here at Indian Lake. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we close, I just want to leave everyone with this question here. What plans are not working out? Could God be working in those plans? And will you trust him with that purpose? You know, if I were to sit down, I love to have coffee with people. I love to sit down and just talk and have coffee. If I were to sit down and have coffee with you this week, and I love to ask this because I love to pry, I guess. I love to say, hey, how's it going? How's it going with the Lord? You know, you getting your time with Jesus? You getting time with God? You getting time with the Word or whatever? Everyone does it different. Maybe you pray with your spouse, or maybe you have devotions at night with the kids, or maybe you just have your own time in the car, you know? How's it going with the Lord? You know, we're coming to the end of 2017. We're about to start a new year. And maybe, I don't know, maybe your answer would be like, it's going pretty good. It's not going as good as I like, you know, having a decent year. Or, you know, I've slid away. You know, I would just ask you, if you're not exactly where you want to be with the Lord, would you be willing just to trust him with your time? Getting ready to start planning for the next year, would you trust him with your time, with 2018, with your time every day? Something. He is so ready to meet you and start delivering his promises and his purposes. Does that sound good? I just want to challenge you as we go forward. So next week is grand finale, 2017, the last week, last Sunday of the year. Would you stand as we worship?